That was fantastic. I'm grateful for that music. It calms my nerves. I'm also grateful that Nico and Sarah were on the program as well. I've been able to work with both of them in the enrollment services office, and so it was nice to see them both on the program with me. As President Kush mentioned, I've had the privilege of working in the registrar's office during my employment here at Ensign College. And I've probably at one time or another seen each of the students' names, each of your names, in association with your program of study. And just for my own curiosity, by the raise of hands, how many of you are in your first year of college? How many of you are in your second year? How many of you have already earned one degree? Good. How many of you are working on your second bachelor's degree? Yeah. How many of you are international students? How many of you are converts to the church? How many of you are in your first semester of your program? Good. How many of you will be completing your program this semester? Awesome. Yeah, good. Well, last April, I was in your shoes. I was finishing up a 3-year doctorate degree in education. And during those 3 years, I did almost everything they told me not to do at the beginning of the program. I changed careers. My wife Brooke and I had our fifth child in May of 2020. We moved across state lines and we renovated a house and did a doctorate degree. We had help from our family, of course, for some of these things, but we also relied heavily upon the Lord. And he helped see us through getting that degree, and I can testify that he'll do the same for you. What I'm speaking about today comes from my personal experience as a non-traditional college student, but it applies to all who experience any level of stress in their lives. But first, I have another question. By raise of hands, how many of you brushed your teeth this morning? It's a weird question, right? It's not meant to embarrass you. I just really want to know. When I was teaching seminary, I would use an object lesson of a toothbrush and toothpaste to emphasize the importance of good gospel habits. I would ask how many of my students had brushed their teeth that morning. I would then proceed to, in a somewhat mischievous way, ask the question, what would happen if instead of brushing twice a day for 2 minutes at a time, I brush once a week for 14 minutes and I use a week's worth of toothpaste? I'm sure you can imagine what happened. I would actually pull out the toothbrush and toothpaste and start layering on the toothpaste on my toothbrush right there in class. And at this point, my students are a little freaked out because that's a lot of toothpaste. Like, gross. But also interested to see what I would do with that toothbrush. Then I would ask them if this was going to work. Will it have the same benefit if I brush for 14 minutes once a week as if I brushed twice daily for 2 minutes? Of course, we all know the answer is no. But because I liked the dramatic effect it had on my students, I would put the toothbrush and toothpaste in my mouth and start brushing. And as you can imagine, this provoked various reactions from my students, most manifesting a lot of surprise mixed with either shock or disgust or both. And it was pretty messy. I tried not to get any of my soup, only with limited success. Just as brushing once a week for 14 minutes won't prevent tooth decay and cavities, practicing gospel habits once a week won't prevent spiritual decay. There are small and simple gospel habits that, if practiced regularly, will help us stay on the covenant path. In the October 2021 General Conference, Elder Michael A. Dunn of the 70 spoke about the principle referred to as the aggregation of marginal gains. He highlighted the British cycling team and the emphasis their coaches used for getting 1% better in everything related to cycling. This process helped them become a winning cycling team by aggregating these small improvements over time. This principle is repeated throughout the scriptures. In the book of Helaman, chapter 15, Samuel the Lamanite referred to it as walking circumspectly before God. Nephi, Isaiah, and the Lord referred to it as learning line upon line, precept upon precept. Alma referred to it as exercising a particle of faith, And, quote, by small and simple things are great things brought to pass. And small means in any instances doth confound the wise, close quote. The Savior referred to it as having a faith as a grain of mustard seed. Eternal progression is an eternal principle. And I believe that this process is fueled in no small part by how we approach the small and simple habits of the gospel. So with that as a backdrop, I'd like to discuss three small and simple habits of the gospel that can produce small improvements day by day and large improvements over time. These three habits can help contribute to improving 1% every day, and I would add, reducing stress. They are simple, but they are powerful and allow us to gain access to the power of Jesus Christ. Now, it's crucial at the outset to understand that eternal progression involves failure. I had a bishop who said, there's actually an 11th commandment, and it's, thou shalt mess up. If Heavenly Father expected us to be perfect, then he wouldn't have provided a Savior. Repentance is how we improve in the Savior's way. Repentance is born of faith in Christ, starting with the belief that God is our loving Heavenly Father, that he provided his Son as a Savior, and that they want us to return to live with them. As Elder Lynn G. Robbins of the 70s said, quote, repentance is God's ever-accessible gift that allows and enables us to go from failure to failure without any loss of enthusiasm. Repentance isn't his backup plan in the event we might fail. Repentance is his plan, knowing that we will, close quote. President Nelson has taught that, quote, nothing is more liberating, more ennobling, or more crucial to our individual progression than is a regular daily focus on repentance. Repentance is not an event, it is a process. It is the key to happiness and peace of mind. When coupled with faith, repentance opens our access to the power of the atonement of Jesus Christ, close quote. The first habit I would like to talk about is doing family history. I think that sometimes when we think of family history, we only think of our ancestors and their stories. And as important as their stories and lives were and are, the stories and lives of our immediate family members are also crucial to our family history. A report from the Washington Post in 2013 cited a study by psychologists from Emory University in Atlanta, Georgia, that found several benefits teens experienced from knowing more about their family history. The psychologists measured teens' knowledge of their family history on a do you know scale. The scale was made up of 20 questions that the researchers used to measure each study participant's knowledge of their family history. I'm going to read a few of these questions right now to you, and it's a small selection, so there are more. You can go find them online. But as I read these, please answer yes or no to yourself. Do you know how your parents met? Do you know where some of your grandparents met? Do you know what went on when you were being born? Do you know some of the lessons that your parents learned from good or bad experiences? Do you know some of the jobs that your parents had when they were young? Do you know some awards that your parents received when they were young? And do you know about a relative whose face froze in a grumpy position because he or she did not smile enough? According to the study's co-author, the last question was meant to show that our family stories might not always be true or as accurate as we sometimes might think. The Washington Post article mentioned that, quote, the researchers found that greater knowledge of family history and higher scores on the Do You Know scale were associated with a host of positive outcomes for teens, including better measures of self-esteem, a stronger belief in their capacity to control the future, lower levels of anxiety, fewer behavioral problems, more resilience in the event of hardship, better academic performance, and better relationships with their parents. Learning our family history is an act of faith that will require diligence and persistence over our lifetimes. But the benefits are worth it, both to ourselves and to our families, both living and dead. Elder Dale G. Renland of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles spoke of the blessings of doing family history in the April 2018 General Conference.
As we participate in family history and temple work today, we also lay claim to healing blessings promised by prophets and apostles. These blessings are also breathtakingly amazing because of their scope, specificity, and consequence in mortality. This long list includes these blessings: increased understanding of the Savior and his atoning sacrifice, increased influence of the Holy Ghost to feel strength and direction for our own lives, increased faith so that conversion to the Savior becomes deep and abiding, increased ability and motivation to learn and repent because of an understanding of who we are, where we come from, and a clearer vision of where we're going, increased refining, sanctifying, and moderating influences in our hearts, increased joy through an increased ability to feel the love of the Lord, increased family blessings, no matter our current, past, or future family situation, or how imperfect our family tree may be, increased love and appreciation for ancestors and living relatives, so we no longer feel alone, increased power to discern that which needs healing, and thus, with the Lord's help, serve others, increased protection from temptations and the intensifying influence of the adversary, and increased assistance to mend troubled, broken, or anxious hearts and make the wounded whole. If you have prayed for any of these blessings, participate in family history and temple work. As you do so, your prayers will be answered.
I know the power and influence that family history has on the heart and mind. I also know of the blessings that come into our lives as we make family history a habit. Now, as Elder Renlund said, this needs to be coupled with temple work as well. And so the second habit I'd like to discuss is regularly attending the temple. In an October 2021 General Conference talk, President Nelson said, quote, "The temple lies at the center of strengthening our faith and spiritual fortitude, because the Savior and his doctrine are the very heart of the temple. Everything taught in the temple through instruction and through the Spirit increases our understanding of Jesus Christ. His essential ordinances bind us to him through sacred priesthood covenants. Then, as we keep our covenants, he endows us with his healing, strengthening power. And oh, how we will need his power in the days ahead." Close quote. Several years ago, I was invited in a state conference to prayerfully consider how often I personally should go to the temple. This invitation has blessed my life. I would like to extend this invitation to each of you. Prayerfully counsel with the Lord about how often you should attend the temple. Then make it a habit. And by the way, he might tell you something different than you think you can currently do, but he knows what's coming in your life. And so what he tells you to do, do it. Making attending the temple a habit will impact you eternally. If you are not yet worthy to go to the temple, then take the necessary steps to get worthy. President Nelson also said, quote, "To each of you who has made temple covenants, I plead with you to seek, prayerfully and consistently, to understand temple covenants and ordinances. Spiritual doors will open. You will learn how to part the veil between heaven and earth, how to ask for God's angels to attend you, and how better to receive direction from heaven. Your diligent efforts to do so will reinforce and strengthen your spiritual foundation." Close quote. The third and final habit that I would like to talk about is daily scripture study. Many prophets have promised incredible blessings for individuals and families who have daily scripture study. President Monson said, quote, "I implore each of us to prayerfully study and ponder the Book of Mormon each day. As we do so, we'll be in a position to hear the voice of the Spirit, to resist temptation, to overcome doubt and fear, and to receive heaven's help in our lives." Close quote. After inviting members of the church throughout the world to finish the Book of Mormon by the end of 2005, President Gordon B. Hinckley said, quote, "Without reservation, I promise you that if each of you will observe this simple program of reading the Book of Mormon every day, regardless of how many times you previously may have read the Book of Mormon, there will come into your lives and into your homes an added measure of the Spirit of the Lord, a strength and resolution to walk in obedience to his commandments, and a stronger testimony of the living reality of the Son of God." Close quote. You also recall from Lehi's vision of the Tree of Life that the iron rod was symbolic of the Word of God. Lehi saw many groups of people in his vision. The group who made it to the tree and remained were those who, quote, came and caught hold of the end of the rod of iron, and they did press their way forward, continually holding fast to the rod of iron until they came forth and fell down and partook of the fruit of the tree, close quote. Continually holding fast to the iron rod implies consistent effort to study and hold fast to the scriptures and words of the prophets. There is a safety and a peace that comes from consistent daily scripture study. President M. Russell Ballard shared a story in a 1996 BYU devotional that illustrates the importance of this daily habit of scripture study.
I want to talk to you about one other matter before closing. One of my missionaries came to me some time ago. He was a fine missionary. I asked him, "Elder, how can I help you?" "President," he said, "I think I'm losing my testimony." I couldn't believe it. I asked him how that could be possible. He said, "For the first time, I have read some anti-Mormon literature. I have some questions, and nobody will answer them for me. I'm confused, and I think I'm losing my testimony." I asked him what his questions were, and he told me. They were the standard anti-church issues, but I wanted a little time to gather material so I could provide meaningful answers for him. So we set up an appointment 10 days later, at which time I told him I would answer every one of his questions. As he started to leave my office, I stopped him. "Elder, you've asked me several questions here today," I said. "Now I have one for you." "Yes, President." "How long has it been since you read from the Book of Mormon?" I asked. His eyes dropped. He looked at the floor for a while. Then he looked at me. "It's been a long time, President," he confessed. "All right," I said. "You've given me my assignment. It's only fair that I now give you yours. I want you to promise me that you'll read from the Book of Mormon for at least 1 hour every day between now and our next appointment." He agreed that he would do that. 10 days later, he returned to my office, and I was ready. I pulled out my papers to start answering his questions, but he stopped me. "President," he said, "that isn't going to be necessary." Then he explained, "I know that the Book of Mormon is true. I know Joseph Smith is a prophet of God." "Well, that's great," I said, "but you're going to get the answers to your questions anyway." "I worked a long time on this, so you just sit there and listen." And so I answered all of those questions, and then I asked, "Elder, what have you learned from this?" And he said, "Give the Lord equal time."
There is a very real power in choosing to spend time with the Lord and His Word every day. This power is renewing, healing, and fortifying. Daily scripture study, when combined with prayer, is like the brushing and flossing of the gospel. Just as brushing once a week is not sufficient, studying the scriptures once a week is also not sufficient if we want to survive spiritually as we get closer and closer to the second coming of the Savior. Now, you might think of these three habits and say that you just don't have time with homework, finals coming up, family, if you have a job, and all other obligations that you have in life. And you know, I really get it. I really get that. In the April 2014 General Conference, Sister Linda S. Reeves said that these and other gospel habits, quote, are the very practices that help take away stress, give direction to our lives, and add protection to our homes. Then if pornography or other challenges do strike our families, we can petition the Lord for help and expect great guidance from the Spirit, knowing that we have done what our Father has asked us to do, close quote. Speaking of the habit of daily scripture study, Elder Richard G. Scott of the Quorum of the Twelve said, quote, Don't yield to Satan's lie that you don't have time to study the scriptures. And we might also add, do family history and temple work. Choose to take time to study them. Feasting on the Word of God each day is more important than sleep, school, work, television shows, video games, or social media. You may need to reorganize your priorities to provide time for the study of the Word of God. If so, do it. Close quote. I invite us all to make these three habits of family history, regular temple attendance, and daily scripture study a higher priority. I know the blessings of these habits and the power they invite into our lives. As a final invitation, I'd like to share with you a challenge that President Nelson's wife, Sister Wendy Nelson, shared with young adults in a 2016 worldwide devotional. Sister Nelson said, quote, "Would you be willing to try an experiment for 30 days? Daily kneel and thank your Heavenly Father for the scriptures. Tell him the one question you most need to have answered that day. Plead to have the Holy Ghost with you as you read. Then open your scriptures anywhere and read until you find the answer. Try it for 30 days and see what happens." Close quote. You might have actually already had an experience like this. Have you ever been going through something really hard, really difficult, and you have an experience where you go to the scriptures, you open, and the verse you read is exactly what you needed? The Lord is very mindful of the things we go through, and He is a very personal God and a loving Father. I'd like to invite you to try Sister Nelson's challenge for the next 30 days. I've tried it myself and know that the Lord is aware of us individually and wants to help us through our trials. I know that Jesus Christ lives and is the Savior and Redeemer of the world. I know that these and other gospel habits will draw His power into our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.